Hey!
Hello, hello.
Back again.
Back again.
Guess he's back again.
Not the song. Not
the song. Oh my gosh. So, Nay, how is your week?
It's good. This is our third episode.
Can you believe it?
So, this is an amazing way to end the week.
I know.
I'm excited. Now
week
look, okay, guys, okay, first off, welcome to 22 Cents, the
welcome.
Podcast. Thank you for tuning in and, you know, I guess joining us on our shenanigans. We had not one, but two exams this
week. In the same day,
in histology and in immunology. And thankfully, we had access to the immunology exam and the source. For our histology exam, I want to say we didn't take it. That exam took us. So the first part, we had to recognize micrographs and everything looked like connective tissue. For the second part, it was about 65 questions for multiple choice. And I would say,
imagine like a little plate of Pepto-Bismol with like some black polka dots on it. That's what everything looked like to me.
Where are you going with this?
That's what the micrographs looked like.
You talking about the staining?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Everything looked like Pepto-Bismol with like some rocks in it.
I just. That's
pretty accurate.
For epithelial tissue, I think you might be spot on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So.
We have just a little while longer now.
Okay, 79 days. I think it's 78, Bria. I think you might be off.
Well, today was 79. Tomorrow it will be 78.
I don't know. I think you're incorrect because on my Snapchat, I had 79. And when I go into Google, it already knows how many days until May 14th. May 14th is our graduation, by the way.
Well, I think like it just depends on which website you go to because some websites count today. Some websites count like certain days.
I'm going to keep 78. I'll let you hold on to 79.
Let me hold, honey. Let me hold.
All right. So let's get into Appreciation Week.
Go ahead.
I am appreciating Christopher Frank Ocean. Why do you make that face?
Okay.
Why? Why? What's
he's
wrong?
Cool.
Nah, he's cool. Okay, so I just want to say, guys, go and do your homework.
Okay.
This is going to be like the Appreciation Week / homework section. Go and do your homework. So Frank Ocean, he actually dropped two projects a little while ago. It was Endless and Blonde. Now, my thing is, the Endless didn't get too much recognition, and I didn't like that because I actually liked Endless. It was kind of like a visual album.
Mm-hmm.
He's building a staircase, and it's abstract. It's not for you to get.
Okay.
Right? Now, Blonde was kind of like the highly anticipated, you know, sound album. It came out, and there's two versions.
Is he like The Weeknd?
No.
Okay.
No. Frank Ocean is, he.
Does he sing rap?
You don't listen to Frank Ocean?
No.
Seriously?
No.
I don't know. Do you know any of his songs?
Blonde.
That's an album.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Okay, so let me get back to
it.
I'll educate you. So he was, when I was in college, this had to be like 2011 when I was first introduced to him. He had a project called Nostalgia. Ultra, right? And that's where Novocaine, but that's where Novocaine was on. And I loved him. Yeah.
Okay.
So I love that song. And then I started becoming a stan once he dropped Channel Orange. And he named it that album. He won a Grammy for it, actually. He named it Orange because orange is the color of liberation. And you need
that's
to listen
beautiful.
To, I know, you need to listen.
Would I like it?
Yeah, I think you would. Frank Ocean, he just has this aromaticity about him. It's something about his voice. It's unique.
My girl, aromaticity.
You hear me? You hear me using SAT words?
You going higher, honey.
Okay. So.
Think about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Because I was like, you. I know he has some radio hits. Like, there's no way you hadn't heard him.
Okay.
Now, to this day, Channel Orange is still my favorite project.
Okay.
I wasn't crazy about Blonde. I wasn't crazy about it. It was, you know, disjointed, and everybody was kind of like, it's the alternative, hard to understand type album. And there was supposed to be two. Blonde with the E was supposed to be androgynous.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And then there was the regular Blonde, but I didn't really understand the message. I'm not as deep as Frank Ocean, but I just wanted to appreciate
the ocean deep.
Okay. All right. I just want to appreciate him this week. He is also has a station. Well, he also has a station on Beats One.
Okay.
Called Blonded Radio.
Blonded.
That I think everyone should go check out. And he has a song with Migos. He's featured on the same song with Migos. It's Calvin Harris's song called Slide. So I think Migos is popping right now.
That's so interesting. We were just talking about the Migos.
I know, on our way here. So I think that the fact that he's collaborating with Migos is kind of dope. So
okay.
I could see really good things.
See that? Okay, let's give a little bit of
background. Well, I have seen good things.
We were talking about how the Migos potentially could be this new cultural...
What genre did you say they were in?
Okay, so to me, it feels like techno trap. You know what I'm saying? Like,
look,
I know that they don't sing the broccoli song, but like, you know, all the little bling blings and all that kind of stuff. Like,
no, but and my point was, I don't think what they're doing is necessarily new, because nobody is talking about Ja Rule and how he is the grandfather of singing and rapping. Listen, infused together. No one's talking about Ja Rule. That's my issue.
It's not the singing and rapping I'm talking about. There's a bug flying around.
There's
here.
A bug in here, okay. Guys. Okay.
Maybe it won't bother like us. It's like the style of the music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it feels like techno trap. Like some white people got together and made some trap music.
Right.
And then brought some black guys in to like do the song, and that's what they came up with.
Right.
So I don't know. Anyways, but I was just, you know, saying how I thought that they were going in the direction of this like
conscious. Are you thinking about them being more woke?
Not conscious, like just like for black popping people who brunch. Like that's the genre that
I never got that from
that
Migos.
I was getting from them. I mean, I just like when I started hearing
I thought
about
there's
them
some good
like
ass
the culture
niggas.
Class and
uh-huh.
You know, these like just being eclectic and eccentric and being their own person. I never thought that they were like, but okay. Also, I don't listen to the music. Not to say that it's bad. I just don't.
Okay.
But,
is this just based off Bad and Bougie? Are you just basing off that song or just like their last project?
So like the things that kind of came out of Bad and Bougie, which was like that class they did in New York, their culture tour, their, you know, just the recent interview radio things that I've heard, you know, from them. And, yeah, so I thought that that's the direction they were going, and I brought it up because you were saying they were working with Frank Ocean.
Yeah, okay, now I see where you're going with that.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, then I saw the thing on the Shade Room about them, like, beating Sean Kingston.
Now, I don't know why that's a headline, and I don't know why Sean Kingston is always in some mess, but...
When did Sean Kingston come back to, like...
Look, I'm not... No, as long as he's not making music, but the point I wanted to make was... I think Migos can be in that direction, but they're still stunted in some types of ways.
Yeah, you think they have that mentality?
Still have that hood mentality. Yeah. And they interviewed on a Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how long ago. I only watched some clips from it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had trouble communicating. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, this class that they went to go teach in New York, I think at Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
How did that go? If they can't do interviews, how the hell are you going to teach a class?
Yeah.
So I was a little, you know... I guess they've been in the game for a while, so I was a little disappointed that the interview was that shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But
New
I
York
still
University.
Think okay at NYU, but I still think that there is some room for growth, and I think that they can only go up from here. They have a number one album and a number one song on the chart, so maybe we still need to give them time. They're also very young.
I liked what you were saying earlier about them feeling that need to stay connected with their original audience.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's what a lot of artists struggle with, is trying to move forward and not leave the people behind.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But I think that there's something that can be said for just doing your own thing and letting the people who are attracted to you for who you are and what you do just be it. And I don't know if that is who the Migos are, you know, that culturally poppin', you know, persona, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But I think that would be really cool, a really cool direction for them to move into.
I
like it, and I mean, obviously, if I like it, then...
Girl, look.
Okay.
But yeah. I just thought it was really cool they collabed, and, I mean, Frank Ocean, it says it all. I need you to go do your homework too, Brian. Everyone, go watch Endless. It's the visual album by Frank Ocean. I didn't think it got a lot of recognition. It's amazing.
Visual album.
Yeah, it's called Endless. All right.
Back to Beyonce.
That's my appreciation stand.
Awesome.
I wasn't as hype as I did Genuine because, you know, Frank Ocean brings that mellow sound.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. So, Bria, who's winning Wild Black this week?
Okay. So, this week for winning Wild Black, you're going to love this. You're really going to love this. And you're going to go home and listen to it.
Am I?
Yes. So, I saw this awesome, awesome article on Facebook about this doctoral student at Clemson University. His name's A.D. Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of writing a typical dissertation, which, I mean, you really can't call a dissertation typical because it's like anyone who writes one or completes one, it's just like an amazing feat of like just awesomeness. Good for you. Shout out to you for being doing a lot more than a lot of other humans. But anyway, so instead of doing a dissertation, like a paper dissertation, he decided to release a 34-song rap album entitled Owning My Masters, The Rhetorics of Rhyme and Revolution.
And so he made a mixtape?
Girl, he made a mixtape. And is about to get his PhD off of it.
Listen,
so he basically, the article that I read said he uses hip-hop to explore ideas like identity, justice, economics, citizenship, and language. It has over 50,000 streams on SoundCloud already, and tons and tons and tons of hits and likes on Facebook, Instagram, all that other stuff.
What?
Yes.
Wait, so what is he rapping about?
He's just rapping about, you know, like the stuff that we talk about on the podcast, race, sexuality, just the human experience, and especially the human experience from the eyes of a black person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Tons of intersectional themes, that kind of thing. So, just really, really awesome, never that I know of has been done before. He recorded it in his apartment with two other producers, aka friends, kind of like
not producers,
like our sound engineer. Shout out to you, girl. I just thought that was really, really interesting. Definitely another example of a black person just stepping out and like not being afraid to do their own thing. And that's why I chose him for Winning While Black, because, you know, most people, when they think of dissertations, they just sit down and they're like, oh, guess I gotta write a 600-page, you know, book. But he was like, no, I'm gonna step outside of my comfort zone. I'm gonna, you know, present this to them and see how they like it. And surprisingly, at least to me, you know, his directors and his mentors were like, go for it. And
I think that's really creative. I've never heard of that. I also want to add, for those people still in the hood, waiting for their mixtape to, no, telling us that their mixtape is dropping soon, take some notes from this guy here.
Yeah.
You know?
It's called Owning My Masters, The Rhetorics of Rhyme and Revolutions. He's talking about something.
Okay, and that's where I was going. He's actually talking about something.
Yeah.
Take a listen. Get inspired, because we don't care about your mixtape that's dropping with you talking about your friends who are in jail. Or yourself. Like, just
or
take
the
some...
coke you did not sell.
Okay. So, this is dope. I like this.
Yeah, so, soon to be doctor, A.D. Carson, congratulations, boo. You are winning while black.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I have Calvin Ford.
Okay.
And I was reading the New York Times, and he's a Baltimore boxing coach. And he's so dope because he actually has been taking these kids off the streets in a really rough area of Baltimore and coaching them for free. So he's using this as a, like, I think he owns the gym. I have to go back and double check that, but I'm assuming he owns the gym. And he's saying that this is a healthy outlet for kids in underserved neighborhoods in Baltimore. He's pretty much trying to keep them off the streets. But I guess what kind of stood out to me was in 88 he was convicted of conspiracy and racketeering. And for those who don't know, racketeering is dishonest or fraudulent dealings. And he served 10 years in prison.
Whoa.
So it's kind of, this was like a turn your life around, let me do right. But let me tell you, put the glue on the track, girl.
But was he using the money to fund the gym? Because that makes a difference.
Now I don't know. So I think he just opened this gym, and he was arrested back in 88. So he spent 10 years in prison, meaning he came out in 98.
Can we just take an aside right there, how interesting that is, that he's been away for so long? And I wonder...
He learned how to box in jail.
I wonder, in prison. Would he have been gone for that long if he was a white guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, he went to jail in 1988. Really?
That's a whole nother podcast.
Okay.
That's a whole... And it says conspiracy. So I don't know law. I'm not going to pretend to.
Yeah.
So we may have to interview a lawyer one of these days to ask questions. But obviously not. And it was the 80s. So you have to remember the punishments for drug dealing was not the same.
Okay. Was it drug... Wait. Did you say it was drug?
Well, racketeering? I mean, racketeering and conspiracy.
Okay.
To... sell drugs.
Okay.
So I think anything
wasn't that when they started targeting black people.
Well,
like, for real?
I mean, they've been targeting black people, but I was gonna say
the war on drugs and everything.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that was the
80s. Okay.
I know war on poverty was the 60s, I believe. So that was the 80s. That was like the Reagan era.
Okay.
And you know, the sentences were much harsher if you were a black or brown person. But what was dope is he learned how to box in prison.
Mm-hmm.
right? So he brought that back to his community. And The Wire, I don't know if anybody watches The Wire. I've only seen maybe one or two shows. I'm not too familiar with The Wire. But Cuddy, he's a character on The Wire, and that character is inspired by him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he's a ex-con mm-hmm. who opens a gym mm-hmm. that when he realizes there's this need in the community, and there was one line that stuck out to me. It says, the kids are in the gym boxing and he's training, and sometimes you hear gunshots. You have to look around the gym and you tell the kids, we got some in here and they ain't getting shot. Mm. So I think we don't necessarily need more fathers. We need more people to be fatherly. And yes. I like that. And yes. I think that this is really important, and we need to support people like Mr. Calvin Ford. So he's winning while black.
Absolutely.
And sorry, I've just been struggling with words.
That's
so
a great one.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
All right. So who reads this week? Let's get right into it.
All right. You going to go first?
I'll let you go first.
Okay. So my reach this week is...
Who are you giving it to?
I'm going to go ahead and give it to...
Because there's a couple people.
To Kanye this week. I'm going to have to go ahead and give it to him. I heard... As the streets was talking.
Not the streets. Kanye ain't on nobody's streets.
Listen, clearly not no black ones. Let me tell you that. That he was trying to develop, come out with, whatever, a cosmetic line. And my response to that was just, can we just don't do that? Can we just do something else?
Like a makeup line?
Like a makeup line. So they're saying he wants to get into makeups, perfumes, lotions, and other cosmetics.
That will be
overpriced. Exactly.
Because I'm thinking about Yeezus.
Yeah. Oh.
And them t-shirts with them holes in it.
$1,500 tennis shoes. And you know the shoes with the socks over the top of them that everybody thinks
I can't.
Cute? Stop wearing socks over the top of your shoes.
That's not a thing. You're
okay.
lying.
No. I know you've seen it.
I haven't seen. I saw his fall collection of last year, but I didn't see no sneakers with socks over them.
No, they're heels.
What?
They're heels with socks.
You said sneakers just now.
No. Okay. He has the $1,500 sneakers.
Uh-huh.
But they have started doing...
Wait, this is a style?
Yeah, this is a style. If you go on Lola Chutique, they're up now, actually.
Okay, is this just what his models wore, or is this something
No, this
like...
is a thing that he sells.
Okay,
I have to find...
Lola Chutique? She carries his line?
No, she doesn't care. She carries the invitation. Like, this.
Oh,
this
no.
is what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely not. Yes. Absolutely not.
It's really crazy. I don't understand it. I mean... Out of, like,
absolutely
easy
not.
Sock pumps. And then they have, you know, the DIY where people just go to Walmart and buy.
Wait a minute. Did she?
DIY.
She cut the hole for the heel? All right, you know what? Okay, so I'm thinking that these are the actual shoes. So she just cut the hole in the at the heel part?
Yes, girl. This is a thing people are doing. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
That's not... But where's the traction? Where's the friction at the end of the...
You're asking some really valid questions that probably...
Oh, hell no.
Okay?
Oh, hell no. I've looked at two... You guys, I've looked at two pictures on Google Images, and this is something that never needed to happen.
You guys, her mind is blown. I wish you could see her face right now.
Look, I just...
Okay, but that was with the fashion line, mm-hmm. okay? So this is a makeup line that he's trying to do. I read an article that said that he is making every effort to become the new Martha Stewart.
What?
And I'm just like,
doesn't she cook?
We don't need a new Martha Stewart. We don't need the old Martha Stewart, okay? But just...
Now I'm confused because you just told me he wants a cosmetic line.
Yeah.
So what does that have to do with Martha Stewart?
You're asking the right question.
Oh, is it because she's like the jack of all trades?
Maybe because she's
Kanye.
She
we don't
a lot.
Need you. We don't
know,
need
insider
this
trading
from you.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah.
We don't need this from you, Kanye.
We don't.
Hell, we barely want your music. We don't need this from you.
Exactly.
How about you sit back and just get better?
Exactly. That's what.
How about you just get better? Because we don't. Where was the demand for this?
There wasn't a demand.
And you know what kills me about Kanye? He's always doing this thing where. Oh, I'm trying to create, and mm-hmm. you're stifling my creative process, and nobody's supporting me, and
because we can't afford it.
Because we can't afford it.
We can't afford it.
Like
we can't afford it.
I just
you
I
need
don't,
to like if you're gonna I don't know be like Eva Mendes or something. Put your stuff in New York and company. I don't.
I want
be
Kanye.
Like
I don't want to hear from Kanye until he's gotten the help he needs.
I don't know. So I mean, I'm sure
for longer than 7 days because they tried. Remember?
Exactly.
No. So I don't want to hear anything about Kanye until
you're telling the truth.
It involves him speaking to a. Mental health professional.
Exactly.
So
I'm sure like tons of people would call me hypocritical. I don't care.
I think when it comes to fashion, he annoys me because he keeps saying that there's this need and there's this gap and he wants to create, but for us, but it's not even accessible to us. And he knows that. Kanye grew up in Chicago. He knows this.
Absolutely.
It's annoying. It's pretentious. And I'm
it's
over
ugly,
it.
First of all. It's not even cute. He looks like everything that he makes has been through a blender.
Look, I'm not.
I don't know. I
I'm
like
not
myself.
Interested.
Okay, anyways.
I'm not interested. But
yeah, so he's reaching again. And what I really want for him to reach back,
not
reach to like 2004, okay, and like, you know, talk to Black people again.
It's like my love for Kanye oscillates.
I just mine kind of ended after, you know, that album Through the Wire was College Dropout.
It ended there.
Yeah.
Kanye's had some great projects. I'm not gonna take that from him. I wanted to appreciate him 1 week. But then I thought about it, I'm like, nah, this nigga ain't well.
I'm
going to wait for him to get well and bounce back and get healthy and leave that Kardashian girl.
Hey, did you see that spoken word piece?
On Def Jam?
No, it was by this girl named Jasmine. She calls herself Kanye's ex-girlfriend. And basically, like, the spoken word piece is she's speaking, but she's speaking like
as if she was
the voice of Black America. And how we feel towards Kanye.
Oh, okay. I thought she was speaking on behalf of Kanye.
No, not on
and
behalf
I was going
of,
to stop you right there.
On behalf of us. It's actually really, really dope. You need to check it out when you get a chance.
All right.
I think it's called Footnotes for Kanye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is that it?
That's it.
Just Kanye?
That's it.
Oh, I have
I wasn't really paying attention this week.
Well, the first one's probably going to be short and sweet because we know he's a crackhead. Chris Brown has been making death threats against Karrueche, and she finally, you know, wised up and got a restraining order.
She needed it.
I believe her. A lot of people are saying that it's not true and are supporting him, but I mean, he's gone on record to say that he will stalk any ex. Well, not any ex, but if he wants you, nobody else can have you. He was saying
a
lot of.
Let's take a moment right here because there is no circumstance or situation to where the response to a woman saying that a man is threatening her with death. There's no circumstance where it needs to be taken.
I'm going to need you to speak right into the mic because I've been saying this, but they don't hear me.
I'm sorry. I don't care.
I believe her.
She is, how she came up.
Look.
What she did to get where she is. If she's saying that someone is trying to kill her, my response, your response, anybody in the general public's response need not be, oh, ho, you lying.
And on top of that, people, it's almost like people are saying, well, you know what he did to Rihanna? That's not a fucking excuse.
That's not an excuse
for her to, like, be threatened or an excuse for her to, or for people to not be sympathetic. Hell, and say that, well, you knew what he did, so why are you surprised?
No.
That doesn't make it okay.
It doesn't even make it
almost okay. So that's annoying. It's frustrating.
I hate that.
It's victim blaming.
Exactly. I mean, it's not a lie.
But I think in... Yeah.
But using it in that
as an
way,
excuse
that's not
to make
okay.
it acceptable is very annoying
that's
to me.
That's not okay.
So, you know.
Do I think it was an unwise choice for her to be with him so soon after that? Absolutely.
I think it's unwise for anybody to be with Chris Brown.
At any point,
quite frankly.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, still, we need to take her seriously.
Yeah, and I think she did the right thing.
And
I hope he gets the help he needs, girl. We were watching The People versus OJ, and Tawana, my roommate, was making. Well, she was commenting, and she's like, wow, what would lead somebody to get to this point? And they were talking about the police chase in the Bronco. And I was like, Chris Brown's well on his way.
Right.
He's well on his way. So, yeah, that's the first person that reached.
Right.
Now, the second person, do you watch Love & Hip Hop? No?
No.
Okay, so
the reunion. I've told you this several times. After Chrissy left, Bria left.
Oh, I can't watch it without Chrissy. Anyway, so the reunion was yesterday, so I just want to, let me get you up to speed. Now, Love & Hip Hop New York, that's this past season that just wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
It includes Yandy. Do you know who Yandy is?
I know
that
Yandy.
Was Chrissy's
that was,
friend.
That
on
was
the,
Jim Jones' ex-assistant.
Right,
I didn't
right.
Like her.
So it's Yandy. Mendeecez is in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
now
the boyfriend, the husband?
No.
Depending on the episode.
Okay, he proposed, Yandy, we found out on the show, Yandy never really went to go get the paperwork done because she was afraid of her assets and him being in jail and the child support issue.
Mm-hmm.
So Yandy never went and finalized the paperwork, and Mendeecez found out on the show over the phone when he was in jail, which is pretty fucked up. So she's been going around saying, but I'm the wife and I have the ring. So when it came out, the people are like, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Now, the reunion annoyed me because it's Yandy and the baby mamas. Mendeecez has two other kids.
Okay.
Right? Outside of Yandy.
Yeah.
with two separate women.
That are on the show, right?
Yeah. Okay. My issue with Yandy is she talks all this trash, but when it's time to box, she, like, grabs security. She's, like, talking all this trash. Kimbella's fighting her battles. The mom's there, the sister's there, but Yandy's not stepping up. You know, she's kind of like hiding and ducking, and that bothers me because this is not the first time a friend mm-hmm. or one of Mandisi's family member has had to, like, I guess, step in for Yandy.
Yeah.
You know, so when are you going to put the bite in your bark? So that's what annoyed me. You don't watch it, so it's not fun.
I'm sorry.
Talk about this with you.
This sounds really ridiculous.
It's really ratchet.
Like, are you going to fight or are you not going to fight? Pick one and move in that direction.
I don't know. It bothers me because this man is in jail. All these women are stressed and pressed on this reunion couch, mm-hmm. looking pretty, arguing about a nigga who is going to sit down for the next, 5-10 years?
All sleeping with the same man.
With the same man.
Okay.
You know, and the argument is like, no, I slept with him first, or no, you didn't sleep with him first, and it's just nonsense. So,
what?
Yeah, my reach went to Yandy Smith.
That kind of reminds me of that story you were telling me about the girl.
What girl?
We were talking in the car, the girl who was like, oh, you have to take a couple hits.
Oh,
you have to take a couple hits every now and again if you want to be in a
relationship.
Yeah,
and Stephanie said,
no.
You trying to get knocked out?
I was weak. Not I.
All right.
Not I. So we have come up to
our main topic. We will be sharing
22
our
cents?
22 cents. Oh, yeah.
Two of my two.
All right. So, Bria, do you want to start it off? Or?
Yeah. Okay. So today, guys, we decided that we want to spend a little bit of time thinking and reflecting and talking about this issue that not a lot of people really know about.
Right.
And it's the prevalence of food deserts in our country.
Yep.
The United States.
Right.
And so I'm just going to go ahead and jump off with the definition that's given to us from the USDA, just so we can all, like, start out on the common ground. But food deserts are defined as a part of the country that does not have access to fresh fruit or vegetables or any, you know, healthy whole foods. It's usually found in impoverished areas, and it's due largely to the fact that there are no grocery stores, farmers markets,
yeah.
or healthy food providers in a certain radius. So you'll
right.
have a community.
Because it wasn't it like a mile thing?
Yeah,
like
it was a mile.
Something.
It's like
yeah.
you'll have a community that won't have a place to buy fresh fruits and vegetables
right.
outside of, you know, like a 5-10 mile radius.
Okay.
And the thing about it is, Nate, if you think about it, usually these areas are low socioeconomic,
right.
you know,
areas of
status,
yeah,
impoverished,
people of color, live.
Color, you know,
right.
people of color, people who are just, that live below the poverty line.
Right.
And so, you know, lots of times, along with that, one of the many compounding issues, they don't have access to, you know, transportation.
Right.
Or they have to take public transit. Think about having to travel 10 miles to a grocery store. And if you have kids, you're having to take your kids on public transit.
I didn't even think about that aspect.
Yeah.
So when I was doing my research, mm-hmm. I didn't consider transportation.
Yeah.
But that's the
main
that's access.
Problem.
That's
yeah.
the access. All right.
Yeah. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I agree. I grew up in the city, but I was fortunate to have a mom who drove.
Mm-hmm.
So the access issue probably wasn't that big, but I think there's a cultural piece.
Yeah.
My mom
absolutely.
Is of African descent, so our food's a little different.
Yeah.
And I was going to get to that later. So you have the kind of American or Black American
mm-hmm.
diet, it kind of infused with the African
mm-hmm.
or Nigerian diet.
Mm-hmm.
And you... There's a lot of things to say about that, you know.
Yeah.
We eat a lot of rice. We
yeah.
eat a lot of carbs,
mm-hmm.
a lot of refined rice, too. And sometimes we're not very literate
mm-hmm.
with nutrition,
mm-hmm.
so we don't see issues till later down the road.
Yeah.
But they're parallel to, you know, the mm-hmm. African-American community, and that's the community I grew up in.
And
okay, so I just want to say I was reading a piece in the John Hopkins magazine, and, you know, like we mentioned, food deserts are more abundant in areas of color, and they were saying that they described it as areas where there's little to no healthy or affordable foods, but I was thinking little to no healthy and affordable
mm-hmm.
foods. I don't think it's either or.
Yeah,
I think they're mutually...
both pieces are very important.
Yeah, they're very important, and so they were linking poverty and food availability.
Mm-hmm.
This is... been well documented. It's not that much of a secret, but some research is showing that a neighborhood's income isn't the only barrier to obtaining food. They were comparing communities within similar poverty rates, and they found that Black and Hispanic neighborhoods had fewer large supermarkets and more small grocery stores. So it made me think back to Boston and the neighborhood I live in, Dorchester, where there are a lot of bodegas, and for some people who don't know, there's small corner stores, and that's where a lot of people go and get their groceries. So we have to think about, like, you know, different, the establishment, how are these neighborhoods set up?
And I think that awareness of this issue is directly connected to that, because so the North American industry classification system is what classifies, you know, a store as a supermarket, a grocery store.
I didn't know
or
that.
Or a, you know, gas station or whatever. And so they dense all of, or they condense, you know, the small corner grocery stores, the bodegas. Down south is the Dollar Generals. you know, it's all into one. You know, thing. So where you might look at a map of, you know, food deserts in an area that is being heavily impacted by this issue may not register because the government has decided that, oh, since you have a Dollar General, you know, in your neighborhood, that counts as a grocery store. Well, at a Dollar General, you're not going to be able to buy fresh apples, bananas.
And they're not finna order.
Potatoes.
And they're not finna, like, order none of the stuff that people will not buy. They're going to have things in stock that people will buy. Lottery tickets, cigarillos,
liquor,
cigarettes. They're not going to.
Beer.
Yeah, those things aren't going to be in stock.
You can, you know, and if you go to a Dollar General, you can see, you know, there's cereal, there's potato chips.
Quick things, processed foods,
ice cream. Exactly. There's not healthy options in those places. And so that is how we get into this serious, you know, situation where there are people who do not have access, literally do not have access to grocery stores. You know?
Or the right things in the grocery store.
Or the right thing. Yeah, exactly.
So I was thinking further about some of the implications and health risks. I said health. Health risks of these food deserts. In the Cleveland Clinic Journal of Medicine, they were saying that despite the historic association of gout with rich eating, this it disproportionately affects those in lower socioeconomic statuses. And I took on gout because it is a disease that we don't really talk about, but it is related to obesity, chronic kidney disease,
diet,
diabetes, and hypertension.
Absolutely.
And it's like a side effect, right? And it's more prevalent in African-American men and higher as with other comorbidities. So I know some people are wondering, well, what the hell is gout? Does my auntie, I think my auntie mentioned it, my uncle mentioned it, but
my toe.
If you guys ever watch Everybody Hates Chris, the cheap daddy, Chris's dad, he had gout.
He does.
Yeah, he, you remember that? He had gout, and it's the most common inflammatory.
That was his name.
It's the most common inflammatory arthritis in the United States today. It affects 4% of U.S. adults. And like I said, we see higher rates in our community compounded with other diseases. It is caused by high levels of uric acid in purine-rich foods and basically in meats, refined foods, sugar, shellfish.
Anything that's high in protein.
Yeah, so the purine breaks down to uric acid and those levels are high in the blood and they form crystals in the joints. So it mainly affects the joint base of the big toe, which is kind of funny, but like not really funny if your toe like has to be amputated. Yeah, that's when it's not funny because you kind of need your big toe.
And it's very, very painful.
Yeah, very painful. I didn't know how much gout actually affected people. So I'm thinking about, you know, the hypertension and the things that our parents get diagnosed with after 50 that we think are normal. But a lot of these things can lead to death. And our community, we're more at risk. So,
and it's interesting because I think as a Black/brown community, we have, you know, it's almost a joke now.
Yeah, we joke about, that's why I brought up gout. I'm like, we joke about this stuff.
Everybody I know has the sugar, you know, it's just a thing that's, it's taken lightly now. But the thing is, diabetes is a chronic life-threatening disease.
It sure is.
And it will kill you.
And let's get specific, type 2.
Type 2. The one that's mostly related to what you're putting in your mouth.
And being stationary.
Okay.
So, You know, gout is considered a musculoskeletal disorder, but they're showing that the hyperuricemia plays an important role in developing renal disease. So we know we see a lot of dialysis clinics in these poor communities.
Yep.
So,
oh, just to be clear, when the kidneys go, you go.
Bria, one more time, the people in the mezzanine can't hear you.
when the kidneys go, you go. You're done.
All the food we like, red meat, sugary beverages, alcohol, chips, snacks, cause gout. So
I don't know.
Too much of it. And, you know, over long periods of time, you know, our bodies can only do so much. And it's disheartening because we know this and a lot of well-studied people know this. But even when you have situations where you bring a Whole Foods, you know, on a serious note, a Whole Foods into a poor community, there's sometimes situations where people still buy the same foods.
Yeah.
So what do you do then? Because that was my question for you.
It's a mentality.
Right.
It's hard to change. You know, even if you, like, take us, for example, you know, we're young, relatively healthy adults who we do have access to healthy foods, but you see the kind of junk that we eat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a mentality.
It's a mindset, yeah.
It's a thing that starts, I believe, when you're, you know, when you're young, when you're being raised, you know, okay, water is not a bad thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Water is actually a lot better for you than Kool-Aid is. And not to say that you can't have Kool-Aid in moderation.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things. We don't practice that.
That's the nutrition literacy, though. But I think that's just tied with education.
Absolutely.
Maybe there's more public health efforts that need to be made in public schools about this.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking back to my grade school and what we ate, but I don't know. There's, how do you reach parents if you're a young child growing up in the hood and your mom works around the clock and she, you know, has a budget for grocery and she can only buy what she can?
How do you even relay that? I think you're describing the cycle of poverty.
Right.
You know, accurately. It's
right.
a cycle. You know, mom can't get home. You know, because mom has to work to even have food to eat at all. You know, so the only food you have in the house to eat is the stuff that she, you know, is able to go out and get.
Right.
And that stuff may not be the best for you. And then now all of a sudden you develop this habit for bad food.
And you're just doing what you know. A lot of people are just doing
exactly
what they know.
It's sick. Circular. You know?
Somebody actually left a really dope comment on Twitter. They said that no one should talk about why poor people buy unhealthy food unless they explain why a burger costs $1 and a salad costs $7.
Absolutely.
And I was like, there you go.
I mean, it's just accurate.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else for you. It's just accurate.
So, I think I had a question for you. What do you think, I guess, community centers, schools, places people frequent, hospitals even, in these communities can do to promote nutrition literacy? What do you think can be done?
Well, I think that what really needs to happen, because, and I'm just thinking about, you know, thinking about all the little badass Black kids that I know in my life, and like, what could I do to help them? And I think exposure, you know, exposure is... I feel like just as Black kids, we have trust issues. I don't know. It's just like ingrained in our DNA. We don't know you. We ain't never seen you before. Who are you and why are you talking to me?
Right.
You know?
Do you mean like exposure to healthy eating?
Yeah.
But like, where would they get that from?
That would be up to the rec centers and the hospitals and the schools. And that's why I really appreciate Michelle Obama's effort to bring healthier foods.
Michelle Obama, if you ever get to listen to this, we miss you so much, more than you could ever know.
We know you don't miss us, but we do miss you a lot.
Sorry, continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. But, you know, just exposing them to, you know, healthy options. Because, honestly, an apple is probably my favorite snack.
Right.
And it didn't become my favorite snack probably until I was almost 21 years old.
Right.
You know, and just being able to introduce them slowly. But, you know, saying, hey, this is an option. You know?
Right.
But here, try this. Let's put the Cheetos down.
So we
and
need
try
more.
Some kale chips.
So we will need a lot more government programs to facilitate that
not
too.
Coming in the next year.
I mean, it's not coming in the next 4 years, but I think that'd be a start because no one's going to do that for free. But I do think there are some people who are making an effort. Like there's a guy in California, I forget his name, Maybe we should find the link and put it in the description. Mm-hmm. He used a lot of abandoned lots
in
LA to grow fresh fruits. Mm-hmm. And I think he gives them away for free or at a reduced cost.
No, so free.
I think we need to, as college educated black women, do more work in our community to find ways to get people access to healthy food. Because there are a lot of people doing these things. We just, they're either not promoted very well or we don't know about them. So,
and you know, when we were at VCU this past summer, we talked about this actually.
Right.
And they, there is a group or like a, I don't know if it's a, an after school group or something, or like just some sort of community group that grows their food and then they put it on a truck and they take it to these areas that have been dubbed as food deserts in Richmond, and they let people come and just get whatever they want.
I think I remember that presentation.
Yeah. And I thought that was really awesome. And I know that's a lot for people who work and go to school, but you know, it doesn't take much to go to the grocery store and like drop some food off at somebody's house.
It doesn't. And I think, you know, we have that responsibility to our community.
Absolutely.
The whole point of, you know, being educated is to give back.
Yeah.
You know, because then what's the work if you can't share it with people?
And then just, this is a side note, but I just really hope that, like, you know, for the listeners of our podcast, if they can hear what we're talking about, we'll do more research,
yeah,
own research, and then come up with better ways and let us know.
Yeah, let us know. And that's the whole point of the leaving our email so we can interact with you and hear your ideas.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's not, and I also want to add that this is such a difficult topic and we only have an hour, so we, you know, discuss and, you know, put out our key points. But last thing I wanted to add was John Hopkins School of Medicine, I believe, they have a nutrition course where they teach the medical students how to cook healthy meals.
That's awesome.
So NPR featured them. So when they have patients, because John Hopkins is in Baltimore, and I think they're kind of in the hood. So the population that they're serving,
Baltimore's the hood.
Yeah, all of Baltimore is the hood, but the population that they're serving is of lower socioeconomic status. So they were teaching these med students how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they have their visits with these patients, it's not just eat healthy, do this, do that. They can show them and give them examples on how to cook these foods. So they were linking up with the local culinary school in Baltimore, which I thought was so dope. And Bria is already in med school, and I'm a med school hopeful.
I've already been
Don't do that. She's in, but I think that's something more med schools need to implement,
too. Because doctors, you know, most med schools do not teach nutrition.
They don't. They sure don't.
Isn't that the craziest thing?
They don't. And I think that the doctors are the first ones to tell you you're fat and you need to go lose weight and you need to eat better. But showing can make a world of difference. Because doctors do a lot of telling. They do a lot of teaching. But showing and taking out that time is pretty dope. So.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
I don't. I think we pretty much covered all the things that I wanted to talk about in terms of this, just making sure that, like, you know, after we get done talking about it, we go and try to make a difference.
Absolutely.
That's probably the most important takeaway that I have. What about you?
My takeaway is doing more research and trying to connect those in the community with people who are, who like either have food trucks or the farmer's market. A lot of people don't know about the farmer's markets in Hampton.
Yeah.
So I guess doing the work and trying to figure out, all right, what's going on. That I know farmer's markets usually pop up during the weekend. What are the times, and letting people in the community know about it? Because I mentor, and that'd be something good I could talk about.
Exactly.
At mentoring.
I like that.
So, yeah.
Doing what we can to make a difference.
We try. We try, girl.
That's an awesome topic. I hope we can come back and revisit this.
Yeah, there's so much more to cover. Like, I know that Whole Foods is now accepting EBT, so that's a whole nother conversation.
Whoa,
about
where can I sign up?
Girl, you don't qualify.
Oh, okay.
You don't qualify.
Being broke don't qualify?
No, girl, you don't need it. But,
Help me.
All right, okay. So let's move on to our ask letters. We have our very first.
Very, very first. I'm so excited. This one, let's see. Who can we call her?
Let's call her
The Greatest to Ever Do It. How about that?
Yep, okay. I like that.
So, The Greatest to Ever Do It writes, I am new to listening to this podcast, I'm new to listening to podcasts, ooh, in general.
Okay.
I came across 22 Cents the other day. Girl, I do not know how. I love the vibe I get from you all, as it feels like we're all just kicking it at home and over a drink. That's awesome.
Right.
With so many negative images of Black Americans today, I love the Winning While Black segment, as well as the Black Business Shoutout. Hey, I was wondering, how do you all find the time to do the show? Since you mentioned you were in school, and then her last question is, what advice do you have for other students who may be looking to start a new hobby but are afraid of balancing work and school?
Oh, that's a
good
question.
Thanks for reading. So first of all, thank you for listening.
Because the way...
Listen.
The way, like...
are the few...
The very few.
The proud.
Maybe one of four.
Including us.
Including us. Right. So, Bria, how about you share your 22 cents on that?
Okay. So, in terms of... Okay. First of all, we've only been doing this show for 3 weeks. So, I think it's important to mention that we haven't been balancing it very long. But we just set a schedule. So, we know on Thursdays... we're going to record and have it up by Friday. Oh, no. Thursdays is usually when we do it. Today we have to do it on Friday because of our schedule. But we say, you know, we're going to have our templates done. We're going to know, we're going to have our show set up and everything. And then we're going to just make an effort to get it done on Thursday night.
Right.
That's, and we don't make excuses. We don't.
Yeah,
you know, we don't
try to like
come in the way. Stick to it.
We try to stick to it. I will say too, because she asked like, wait, what was her question?
How do you find the time to do the show?
Oh, the time.
Yeah.
But I think what's important is you can make time for something if you really want to do it. And I think
we really enjoy this.
We really enjoy doing it, even if things don't take off immediately, or I guess even if they never do.
Mm-hmm.
This has been. Well, is fun. This is really fun for us. And I think if you really enjoy something and you're passionate about it, that you will make time for it. Bria works, I work, and we just schedule around it. I get off of work at 10, you know, and there's compromise sometimes. Mm. There are times, like, for example, this week we had an exam, and yesterday just was not going to work. So we had to find a time, make sure that our talking points was done, our research was done.
Absolutely.
So by the time we got together, we were ready. So if you are passionate about something, you'll definitely find a time for it.
And we are passionate about doing the absolute most. With the absolute least.
So, all we do is the most.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, of course, it's fitting. And then it's just like an out. Because our friends, I'm sure, are sick to death of us in the group chat.
Sick to death.
So, we just kind of diverted our attention to this podcast. And it has been fairly consuming, but like also very, very rewarding. I've learned a lot over the last 3 weeks.
I
don't know about
too.
You.
I have too. I feel like I'm kind of smarter.
Yeah, the topics that we research.
Yeah, like... I can agree with that. I think that if you want to start a hobby, go for it.
Absolutely. That was our last question, too.
Yeah, definitely go for it. I like to make a to-do list. Mm-hmm. I like to look at it's kind of like week at a glance.
Mm-hmm.
And I find little pockets of time where I can, like, read an article, get ready for the episode. I know earlier in the week, me and Bria will pick a topic, and then we'll go do our own research.
Yeah.
And what's refreshing is we don't really know what the other person's going to say, so we come together and the conversation just flows.
Yeah.
So if there's something that you like to do, look at your schedule, see where you have little pockets of time, and, you know,
use them.
From here on, work and school is just a thing.
Yeah.
It's never going to change, but you can, I think a hobby like makes everything worthwhile, you know?
And also I'm going to add to, I quote this lady 17,000 times.
Per week. Because she has all the answers, girl.
She has all the answers.
She knows everything. She knows everything.
I can't wait for her to come on our show and be interviewed.
I feel like if you touch my leak, you can absorb everything she knows.
Listen.
If you get to touch her.
If you get to touch
her. Just to him.
She's very, don't touch me,
Seriously. I snap her all the time and she has yet to open.
Really?
Yeah.
She's responded to me.
She doesn't respond to me.
Maybe because I
think because everything I send her is like grammatically incorrect and she's like, she's not smart, so I'm not going to respond to
her. I couldn't see her doing that.
Oh, Father.
But anyway, she always says, if you have something that you want to do, put your... thing, your project, your song, your book, your podcast, your application
out into the universe.
Put it out there and let the universe conspire to help you. So if you have a hobby that you are wanting to try, put it out there.
You have to do it.
And let the world work for you.
And I think at first I think me and you started getting cold feet at different times because I like, Dad, how are we going to pull this off?
Yeah.
Is this even a good idea? Who's going to listen to us? But clearly you. So I guess we, you know, it's good. You know, people are reaching out and like it. So we're going to keep doing what
we got a couple of downloads and
right.
views.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So this is dope. So guys, please engage with us. Send your letters to 22centspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and it's 22 cents, so like spell out.
Spell out 22, 22 no dash.
Yeah, no dash. Yeah. 22 spelled out podcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, all right. So, Bria, who's on the blacklist this week?
I went first for the other one.
Okay, well, let's see. All right, so I'm adding my mentor and sister friend, Cassandra Queen, of Queen Fashions to the blacklist. Hey, yeah.
Fashion.
You know about Cassandra at that table?
I know she added leather to your jacket.
She sure did to my dress.
To your dress.
So Cassandra is not only my mentor from my undergraduate career, I guess, she is also my tailor. So Cassandra, she's a chemist by training. That's what her bio says.
Cassandra, you created a monster with that leather, let me tell you.
Look, because ain't it bad?
Girl, I was like, really, did you?
Right. So Cassandra, she's a chemist by training. She has a master's in polymer organic chemistry.
Of course she does.
And she's into textiling, so she decided she wants to start her own fashion line. And her fashion line is called Queen. That is Q-U-U-E-E-N-N. And you can go on her website at www.cassandraqueen.com.
Cassandra, can you send me another bag? Because Nenea gave me one, and I just want another one.
I hate you. So, Queen is an emerging lifestyle brand that specializes in unique handmade accessories. Queen designs and produces contemporary items with a simple yet stylish person in mind. So, everybody, please check out my mentor and just wonderful, wonderful tailor, Cassandra Queen. I hope you guys like her selection and support her. Awesome. Who you got, Bria?
Okay, so this week, I'm going to shout out my girl, Kiera Warren. She is, like, my favorite person on the planet. I don't even know. Okay, so her business is called Yes Study Abroad, and it is aimed at making travel possible through education and inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So basically,
do you know her?
I do.
Okay,
I do. Her mission is to equip minority students with the tools needed to live life with a purpose, become a global citizen, and to be able to pursue their passions. They also aim to break down perceived barriers that prevent student of color from traveling the world.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome. She has tons of forums. She has tons of, just projects that she has going on in order to raise money to send her students, you know, just on different trips.
Right.
Just be able to experience the world. And I just have always thought that that was super, super, super dope.
Mm-hmm.
In an area that definitely needs to be addressed because no one else is talking about it.
Right.
Black students don't travel as much as white students.
We
That's just the truth.
I know people who don't even have passports.
People who never leave the city they're born in.
Say that again.
You know what I'm saying? And she's based out of Memphis right now. And so I think that's definitely an area that's been hit very hard by
right.
the statistics. So
right.
I'm super proud of her and super, super just loving this idea of
right.
encouraging black students to travel because, you know, I've been out of the country before and it definitely is going to change your worldview, change your
Absolutely.
Perspective. You know, I think a
there's
lot of...
There's so much...
Yeah.
There's so much that is out there that people don't even know. Like,
exactly.
Your life is so small when you travel.
Your life is so
because you start
so
to realize
small.
The world is big.
The world is very big. Absolutely.
So how can we contact her, Bria?
You can go onto the website at yesstudyabroad.com. They definitely have opportunities for you to give and support her mission.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I forget where they're trying to send students, but you can go on the website and see for yourself. She has t-shirts that you can purchase at, you know, to support her brand.
Right.
And that money goes to sending students to, you know, destinations of their choosing. If you have a student that you want to be able to send abroad, definitely go on the website, yesstudyabroad.com, and get in contact with her so she can hook you up.
That's cool.
And if you would like to talk to her, just, you know, email us, 22centspodcast@gmail.com, and I can get you in contact with Miss Kiera.
Look at Bria connected.
Look.
Connected.
Connect.
All right. So, Bria, you're going to leave us with a quote snatch?
I do.
Now, you know I hate spoken words. So
I know.
Make this quick. I hate spoken
that's
words.
That's why I added this segment, because I know you hate it.
I have.
Yeah. This week's Quote Smash is brought to you by my cousin, my personal cousin. I don't know, physical cousin is the word I should say.
Can you get on with this? Can you get on with this, please?
Future Hendrix.
Aw, hell. Who dropped two albums in the span of, what, a week?
A week, literally. A seven-day period. That's why he's my cousin. Brought to you by Future Hendrix and the queen of the queen black women, Beyoncé.
Aw, hell.
Excuse the grammar, because Future Hendrix did like this. Who told you you couldn't be exactly who you wanted to be? They wasn't bold. They didn't have the ambition. They cared about what other people thought of them. They didn't believe in themselves when no one else did. They didn't sow the seeds, and they didn't have the passion. And they didn't have the drive. That's not you. They're not you. You may not like to gamble, but if there's one thing you should be willing to bet on, it should be yourself.
Should I snap?
Go ahead.
There you go. Who wrote that?
Future and Beyoncé.
Wait, they have a song together?
No, they don't have a song together.
Oh.
I took the quote.
Did you see my eyes?
Yes.
Girl, look.
I wish they would have a song together.
That was good.
How dope would that be?
That was good.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we have come to the end. Thank you guys for supporting us.
Namaste.
Good. There you go.
Right,
end of the episode. Right. You guys can follow us on Instagram. My Instagram name is @KingNaya. That's King spelled regularly. Naya, N-A-Y-Y-A. Because the two Y's, because the first Y was taken. And then you can follow Bria at
Bria Laurel, BREIALAURELLE. That's extra basic. It's just my name.
And then our Twitter is @20_2 cents. So you can follow us there. We should have an Instagram page soon.
Okay.
But
what are we going to put on it? Why do we need
Instagram? Maybe we don't.
Okay.
No, we don't need one. And you can send your questions again to 22centspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And have an amazing weekend, you guys.
Absolutely.